Before we get to our next guest, we need this.
90th minute of a scoreless match. Jimmy Chara serves the corner kick into the box. It's off the first man. Paredes knocks it down. It's loose in the 18th, and it is in! It's Larry Smadiola in the 90th minute, possibly sending the Portland Timbers to the conference final!
Well, it's been a while, but here we are off a 2-0 victory at home against Real Salt Lake. Timbers hoping to add another MLS Cup. They take on New York City FC Saturday. Our guest, the voice of the franchise, the former sports director at KEZI-TV here in town. On Twitter, use the handle at Jake Zivin. Hey, Jake, how's life treating you these days?
Steve, thank you for having me on. It's great. It's a very exciting time up here, obviously, and Saturday should be one of the most special moments in the history of this league, to be honest. And I know it's a very busy time down there in Eugene, so thank you for making a little bit of time for us up here in the Timbers and MLS Cup.
Now, for those not aware, that was your call November 25th. Larice Mabiala to be Colorado, but the camera on the booth, we have seen some fantastic video, some magical moments. How did that all come to be? Because, Jake, that's really become a fan favorite.
So we have a videographer, well, actually had him. He just left a couple weeks ago, which bad timing by him, by the way. His name is Austin Webb, who was our videographer for several years. And when he first joined the team, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, he showed us all kind of in the broadcast department a video. I think it was Liverpool that had done that. They had a camera in the radio commentator's booth for this really big moment. And he pitched it. He loved it. And I was like, sure, whatever you guys want to do, no problem. And it just never kind of came to be. And then the Mariners did it at the end of this season. It was, I think, game 161, where the Mariners had this dramatic win, right, to stay alive in the wild card race. And you had, I think, both Dave Sims and Aaron Goldsmith, I think they had their calls. Maybe it was 2 separate games, one with each of them. But that, you know, Mariners fans loved it. It was cool. And so Austin came back to us and we got to do this for the playoffs. And our boss, Matt Smith, the VP of broadcasting and kind of video content for the Timbers, gave it the green light. And so, yeah, we've had it for 4 games. The first game was a trial run and to make sure it would work for the playoffs. It was only meant to be for the playoffs. And it was when Dairon Asprilla had this absurd bicycle kick from like 30 yards away. So we just go, we got to use it. So we used it. And then throughout the playoffs, the Timbers have given us kind of this big moment in each game. So it's weird. It's a little awkward for me to like watch myself call the game and see the body mechanics of this like big call. And it's really fun to see my broadcast partners and as they react in the moment, because obviously that's not something I'm looking at, or any of us are not looking at each other during those moments. So it's been fun, and you know, I'm really glad that the fans have enjoyed watching it.
No, it's been awesome.
Small part of this run.
You know, I know it's been years since you covered the Ducks in an official capacity, but obviously you're still in state and you follow a bunch of sports. You're a lifelong Chicago fan. So I guess your initial reaction when after, I guess, Utah Disaster 2, you heard Coach Cristobal is heading home to become the head coach at Miami. What'd you think?
My initial reaction was, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Maybe that's unfair. I'm out of it for sure a little bit. It's been 5 or 6 years since I've been really in it day to day. But Willie Taggart and now Mario Cristobal, and it's you know, it's the risk you run, right? When you hire a coach who has deep, intense, historical and familial connections to another part of the country and to another school. And it was always, I felt, gonna, you know, the risk, right? That this is the one job Mario Cristobal would leave for. Now, I will say the events of the past month in college football have totally changed that, because now you think anybody could leave any job for anywhere, where before you would say there's maybe 10, 15 jobs that no one's really going to leave. Not anymore, obviously. And now, right, they got to hire another coach, right? I'm interested. Like, who do you think it's going to be? I think it's very intriguing. And for me, as a guy who likes storylines and who is nostalgic, I'm all in on Team Chip Kelly coming back. I covered him. Obviously,
yep.
That was my era down there. I think it'd be fascinating. I don't know if it would work or not, but I'm here for the stories. I'm here to watch it happen, the drama of it all. And that's the side I'm on.
You know, I did the math. So you literally were here, what was it, for the 2010 season through the end of 2014, which meant...
I did it right, didn't I? Yeah.
You covered two national title games, a Rose Bowl. And by the way, then you get up there, they win the title. Have you considered shopping your services as maybe broadcasting's good luck charm?
I'll go before that, because before Eugene, I was in Missoula, Montana for 2 years as a sports director at the NBC station there. And the Grizz, University of Montana, went to the FCS title game both of those years in Chattanooga. They lost both of them to Villanova and to Richmond, but I was able to go there. So while my teams do get to the final, they usually don't win it. The Timbers in 15 were the only one to win two Montana football titles, two Oregon football titles, two MLS Cups. I'm 1-for-6. But, hey, maybe it'll be 2-for-7 on Saturday.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to send you a copy of my portfolio. Just hold it for a minute. That's all I ask. You know, we're talking with Jake Zivin, obviously a huge one coming up, MLS Cup on Saturday. I thought, actually, the Timbers Twitter account asked an interesting question last week. Biggest game at Providence Park ever. I think you and Ross Smith addressed that and more on the build-up part one. So, at least during your time there, how close of a statement is that? How close to, you know, an all-timer was it? And if not, what else is up there?
Yeah, it was. It was. There's no doubt. And, you know, the reason is because now Saturday is the biggest game that the Timbers have played in the history of Providence Park. Pele's final game ever was at Providence Park in 1977. It was the NASL Soccer Bowl, which is what they called the final game there for the Cosmos. But it was a neutral site. I believe they actually played the Sounders in Portland in the championship game in 1977. So that game did not involve the Timbers.
Sure.
That game is probably going to be hard to top, right? It's the most, as the biggest soccer game in the history of Providence Park, Pele's final game competitively. But this, there's no doubt. I mean, they've never hosted a final before. And to be able to do it and the opportunity to win a championship in your home field, there is nothing bigger than that. Going back to 1975, they haven't had this chance. They do now. And that's why I said last week, the Saturday, the Western Conference Final was last week, it was about 4 days ago, was the biggest game the Timbers have played at home in their history because of the possibility of leading to Saturday, which is now by far the biggest game ever in this stadium, and it'll be awesome.
By the way, I was at one of his last games in New York, Pele.
I believe that.
When he did the famous, say with me, a love, a love. yeah, we were in the crowd that day. One general question. I don't think the average fan gets what an MLS season is. The Final Four and MLB starts. It's still going. College football's regular season is over. So, Jake, when you're a reporter and you move from season to season, sports to sport, how long did it take you on this gig to realize, so this is kind of different?
Yeah, it's a long season, right? I mean, here's the thing. They're going to be back here in like a month. I think mid-January is when the team is going to have to return for preseason. So they may have 4 weeks off, 5 weeks off, and that includes the holidays, right? So it's like there's a New Year's. So there's a lot going on there. It won't feel like much of a break for them. But that's common in soccer around the world. The teams that miss out on the playoffs in MLS have, for world soccer, very long off seasons. It can be 3 months. Now, in American sports, that's short.
Sure.
But in the soccer world, that's long. And so, for me, you know, I've been a long time MLS, young super fan, and then I worked for the league when I was in college, and then kind of diverted my path a little bit to, you know, do the local news sports thing for 6 or 7 years. So I knew what I was getting back into. I love the league, absolutely, passionately, to my heart, to my soul. So I was ready for it, and I was thrilled to be able to be back in. I love calling games, right? So for me, the offseason is too long. We're going to have to wait till February 26th to call the Timbers season opener. That's too long for me, 2.5 months without calling games.
Nice. A few final thoughts for Jake Zivin. Yeah. So I was reading a preview of this match that kind of centered on the return of Sebastian Blanco from the ACL, the huge goal against Minnesota as they advanced to the West semis. Then he hurt his hamstring against Colorado. So where are we at status-wise, and what would it mean to again suddenly have him out of the lineup?
Yeah, so he was on the bench against RSL on Saturday, which was like kind of miraculous because when he got hurt, when he pulled up with that hamstring in Colorado, I think that the thought was, you know, the immediate fear was the season's over. And he progressed really well, far better than I think even after seeing initial scans of it on, I guess, Friday, the day after the game, anybody thought he could. And it got to the point where he was ready to go in an emergency situation. Now, what happened on Saturday was the best case scenario. The Timbers scored an early goal. They were up 1-0, and then they got a second goal around the 60th minute. That's exactly what they would have wanted. So they're up by 2 goals late in the game. There's no need to bring him in. Let him sit on the bench, you know, recover for another week, and get as good as you can before MLS Cup, and don't risk something in the Western Conference Final that could jeopardize your ability to play in MLS Cup. I think if the game were tied or if they were losing, I think we would have seen him on Saturday. He would have come in. Instead, he didn't have to. He'll be available. I don't know if he'll start or not. If it's up to him, he'll start. He would start without a hamstring, right? That thing could be completely torn. He would say, my decision, I'm starting. It won't be up to him completely, and it'll be interesting to see what they do and what that assessment is over the next few days. So if they think he can only play 30 minutes, we're going to save it, or we think he might be able to go 60, so we're going to start him and see how long it lasts. It'll be interesting. But either way, just having him available is a huge boost. He's an immensely important player, one of the best players in the league. It's not hyperbole at all. He's a special, special player and a special personality on this team as well. He brings a grit and energy and intensity to this team that I think the team really needs. And even his presence on the bench will provide that in the moment on the day.
So this match with New York City FC, who's had their share of injuries themselves, they've been down some big players, Keaton Parks, but they got the Golden Boot winner, Tati Castellanos. How you seeing this one as far as what's working for Portland, the matchup and the challenges NYCFC present?
Yeah, they're really good. They're really good. New York City FC is really good. And the advanced kind of analytical stats all season long have really favored them as being a team even better than their record. They're the 4 seed in the East, just like the Timbers were the 4 seed in the West. Timbers had a better record, though, throughout the season. That's why they're hosting. And New York City FC kind of had a rough patch about a month before the end of the season, and it wasn't clear if they were going to make the playoffs or not. Then they went unbeaten in their last 5 in the regular season. They won 3 of those. They made the playoffs and have gone on a nice run now in the playoffs to get to this point. You mentioned Tati Castellanos. He's the Golden Boot winner, which means, you know, the leading scorer in the league. He had 19 goals. He's really good. He's dangerous. He causes a lot of problems for defenders because he makes really good runs. And he's always moving. He's working, which is hard. If you're a central defender, you want a guy who's, you know, just kind of standing in one place because it's easier to track them. If you got to follow this kind of pesky forward around all game, you'll get worn out, you'll get frustrated. That being said, he isn't this super-duper star that's going to really strike fear into an opponent, you know, like some other players have been. Like Atlanta had in 2018 when the Timbers lost to them, you know, a guy like Joseph Martinez. He's not quite that type of player. But they have really good players, similar to Portland, I think. If the Timbers play like they played against RSL on Saturday in the Western Conference Finals, I think they'll win. In my mind, everybody played a great game. Everybody was fantastic in that match. If everybody plays like that, they'll be all right. But it's a different game. How do they handle this moment? Being at home, a lot of pressure on the Timbers, no pressure on New York City coming all the way across the country to play in their first final. To me, it's kind of more about that. Who's able to meet the occasion better? I think the Timbers have the personalities in them to do it. A lot of these guys were on the team in 2018 when they lost in Atlanta. Several were on the team in 2015 when they won in Columbus. So I don't think the moment, the occasion, is going to be too big for them. And I think they'll step up and meet it. But you don't know until kickoff, and it's going to be a fascinating game.
And lastly, so I guess Journalism 101, let the folks know what kind of coverage they can expect from you and the crew through the week, when and where to find the final this Saturday.
Yeah, so we'll be coverage from training and from all the media events just through the Timbers social media channels, at Timbers FC on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Timbers.com online. You can watch the game on ABC, KEZI, down in Eugene, my old spot. We'll be showing it at noon on Saturday, national TV on ABC, in Spanish on Unimas as well. Radio on Sirius XM, no local radio broadcast for this game. We don't have the rights. It's exclusive national rights, so we won't be able to do a local radio broadcast for this game, which, of course, personally is a big bummer. But I'll be there to provide some post-game coverage as well. It might have some things in the works that would provide some calls after the fact. But, yeah, KZI for all you down in Eugene. Tune in at noon.
Can't wait. Folks, he's Jake Zivin. I deliberately did not mention the Bulls because they kicked the Knicks' ass last week. But
hey, they're back. Bulls are back. Let's go. Aaron Fentress and I, we're buzzing up here in Portland. Yeah.
And I so enjoy when you bring it up on my show. Folks, we always appreciate his time on Twitter, the handle at Jake Zivin. Hey, Jake, thanks a million for joining us. Enjoy it Saturday. And, of course, always look forward to talking again down the road.
Thank you, Steve. All the best to you down there.
All right, take it easy. Fun stuff.